This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See the cover of today's Boston Herald? It said Attaboy, spelled B-O-U-Y. John Kerry sees the light, S-E-A-S. It's a classic Boston Herald front page, and it's a classic Herald scoop. The newspaper broke the story about Senator John Kerry docking his new $7 million yacht in Rhode Island and thus avoiding approximately $500,000 in Massachusetts taxes. Kerry's announcement that he would voluntarily cut a check to the Massachusetts Department of Revenue also made it the lead story in today's other paper, the Boston Globe, the Herald's bigger crosstown rival, or as some Herald scribes refer to it, that boring broadsheet. But witty headlines aside, both the Herald and the Globe face serious challenges. Circulation and ad revenues at both papers continue to fall, forcing both papers to make major staff cutbacks and shrink their operations in order to stay afloat. But since only a handful of American cities still have rival papers, can Boston remain a two-newspaper town? Should it? Do you rejoice in or disdain the Boston Herald? And what would the city be? Would it be a lesser place without its populist, pugnacious, pugilistic tabloid? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Do join us. I'd love to hear what you think about the Herald, because joining us now is Joe Sciacca. He is the man who will now top the masthead at the paper. He's been named the paper's editor-in-chief now that the Herald's former captain, Kevin Convey, is taking over at the New York Daily News. Joe Sciacca, thank you so much for joining
us. My pleasure. A lot of nautical terms here.
I was going to say, we were attempting there to be Herald-esque in our use of extended metaphors. However, I have to say that we didn't come anywhere near the punny eloquence.
It takes a lot of work. We like to consider all our front pages classics, you know, not just that one.
They're definitely attention grabbers and make you pick up the paper, let me tell you. But about this issue regarding Senator Kerry and his yacht and the fact that he is willing to now pay some $500,000 to the state of Massachusetts, it was also in the Globe today. So does the Herald consider that, you know, a win for the Herald because you finally got...
Well, I think that, you know, following through on the story, when you get results, when you get a reaction in journalism, whether it's in a broadsheet or a tabloid, I think that's a positive thing. I think that the Herald, all of our market research has shown, and frankly, this common sense, I think, tells you that people view our newspaper as sort of a watchdog on government. And I know much has been made of the term hacks, which we know has been used quite frequently. But I think it goes far deeper than that. It goes into a real concern that someone, and certainly people in journalism, need to keep an eye on what people in government are doing, government waste, government abuse, government excess. You know, are there differences in the way our public officials are treated by the system versus the ordinary person? So I think the Herald fills that role.
So do you think that the type of watchdogging, if I can put it that way, that the Herald's doing is different than, say, what the Globe's doing? Because it seems like the stories or the malfeasance that you look for has a different flavor than what the Globe might be covering.
Well, I don't know. You know, when you have a story in a broadsheet and you have a story in a tabloid, there's a different impact just by the nature of the size of the headlines, the projection of the stories, how stories are played. You know, I saw the very good job that the Globe recently did on the probation department abuses. And frankly, it's an issue that's been raised many times before in the Herald and in individual stories. The Globe packaged it very nicely and will probably end up getting some results as a result of their reporting. So, you know, I think that whenever journalists and reporters and editors can point out abuses or potential problems in government, it's a good thing.
Mm. So you've been at the Herald since the 1980s.
That's right. I walked into the office in 1983 with a full head of hair.
Okay.
Now this is radio, I know, but you're looking over at me and laughing, so you know what the toll it's taken on me.
Handsome, nevertheless.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's a very sleek look I have.
I don't want to necessarily drag out this Globe-Herald comparison mm-hmm. too much, but we are fortunate in Boston to still
Absolutely.
Be a two-newspaper town. So let me just ask you briefly about, you know, you mentioned the Globe's coverage of the probation mm-hmm. department. And that's something that has, you know, somewhat appeared in the Herald, but not anywhere near to the extent of the investigation that the Globe did. And yet on the John Kerry story,
right.
Last few days in the Herald, I know the paper repeatedly said, you know, why why isn't those other guys down on Morrissey Boulevard covering this? Mm-hmm. I mean, why is it that you really want to be nipping at the Globe's heels all the time? Why should the paper cover what you guys are already doing?
Honestly, there is still this great sense of competition between the Globe and the Herald. It has been for many years. I think it's a great thing. As you mentioned, there are probably, what, 5 or 6 cities in the country that still have a true independent competition between different newspapers. There are a bunch of others that have JOAs or joint operating agreements. But so I think that competitive spirit is great and the readers are well served by it. But to be totally honest with you, I mean, I think that the competition these days is not so much between the Globe and the Herald. The real challenge is the competition, I think, is to be relevant. Who's more relevant when a newspaper, a print product, hits that sidewalk in the morning? Is that paper still relevant? You know, I talk to college classes and kids say, okay, so in other words, you put the news in the paper that and then you go out and print it, you put it in trucks, you drive it out, you throw it on the sidewalk so that people can find out what happened yesterday. And, you know, why don't you just go online and find out what happened 5 minutes ago? So it is a very difficult challenge that all print products, Globe and Herald and all the other newspapers around, face.
Well, I think it actually may be a special challenge for the Herald because, say, I mean, referring to bloggers, mm-hmm. say, the, you know, the tone they often take is as feisty as right. you see in the Herald. So not only do you have the competition in terms of maybe the shoe leather journalism, if bloggers are actually doing mm-hmm. that, that's a different question
entirely.
Some do,
entirely. I think, yep.
Yeah. But also just the language and the verve that you read online. So do you think that's a special threat to the Herald?
No, I think that, frankly, our website is doing great, and you know, much is made of circulation drops in the print product. If you combine our hundreds of thousands of views of our website every day with our readership at the paper, you know, you can come to basically an audience of about 1.5 million readers that are viewing both. So I think that, you know, the competition from bloggers or what goes on the internet is something I welcome, and I think that the internet has been, and our website is a great reporter's ability. We are able to post things quickly, break news immediately, and also have a great amount of reader interaction, which I think is the most interesting thing.
The world of comments.
Absolutely.
On both BostonHerald.com and Boston.com for the Globe is a really
but, you know, honestly,
it's a good world.
If you remember the bullying controversy with Phoebe Prince's
yep.
tragic death, there's a story that in print we carried that story along, you know, and just wrote that story. Was so important. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments on our site from parents, from teachers, from kids about bullying problems they face in their own schools. Honestly, I felt it was one of the most civil and educational conversations or dialogues about that issue I'd seen anywhere. So that's the benefit of a website, a newspaper website, where you can engage people like that.
Because it was the world of the newspaper that they felt they could
exactly.
engage in rather
right.
than some other
yeah.
maybe unknown, misunderstood blog.
Very true.
We got some callers who want to join us. Emily's on the line from Newton. Welcome to Radio Boston, Emily.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention that it was actually reporting in the Herald on the quote-unquote hack holidays that inspired me to start a fiscal reform citizens lobby called Voters Count. And we had our first action alert making calls and emails to legislators about what we call the frivolous holidays, just to be a little more respectful. And they were not included in the compromise budget or the budget that the governor signed. So I think that we were very influential. So I just want to thank the Herald for focusing on that issue.
Emily, thank you so much for your call. I hate to say this, but, you know, maybe a knee-jerk way of describing who might be a typical Herald reader, you might not ascribe a Newton zip code to that.
Well,
so, but they're all over.
They are all
over.
So
who is the typical Herald reader then today?
Well, I mean, if you look at the demographics for the print product versus the demographics for the Herald website, and I think they're both counted as Herald readers or Herald fans, they're somewhat different. You know, we tend to get more women readers on our website, higher income, you know, on our website, more homeowners. So there's a different demographic. The print product, frankly, people who are totally wedded to a print product, again, whether it's the Herald or the Globe or any other newspaper, are people that like to hold that in their hands, and they have their habits, and they get up and they have their coffee and they have their paper and they bring it with them in the car to work. So I think that there is still a loyal readership of newspapers. They tend to be a little bit older, mm-hmm. frankly.
You know, The Herald has also had its share of trouble in the past. I mean, it's been the object of several libel suits, and there have been a number of stories which the paper has at times had to retract or clarify. And some of it may be due, some people feel, to the tone that the newspaper takes. So under your leadership now, do you have any sense or desire to maybe moderate or modify that tone?
No. I mean, I think libel suits is something that, and you can certainly Google it, you know, see how many newspapers around the country have been sued for libel successfully, including the Boston Globe. But so I don't think that's something that's unique to our newspaper. I think the tone of the Herald is feisty. I think it is edgy. I think it is forward-looking. It's agenda-setting, proactive in terms of news coverage, and ambitious in terms of political coverage. And I think that's the tone that I want to continue. You know, the Herald brand remains one of the strongest brands in New England, and our branded personalities, our columnists, whether they're conservatives or liberals, you know, we have both as voices in the Herald every day, I think personalities that people know and love.
Let's get another call in here. Gina is calling from Cambridge. Welcome to Radio Boston, Gina.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just first wanted to, before I got into my criticism, I wanted to praise what you were talking about with the website interaction. I think that's really great, and it's awesome that you're giving readers an opportunity to get involved. So that's great. But I just wanted to comment as a citizen of a suburb of Boston, and comparing the two newspapers, I find that that your newspaper is a little fluffier than the Boston Globe. And I was wondering what you thought of that comment, or if you disagree with that comment, or you know how you think that the Boston Herald is perceived.
Fluffier, I'm not sure what is meant by that exactly. People sometimes call me warm and fuzzy, but I'm not sure if fluffy is a word that I use to describe the Herald. I mean, I think that, you know, we certainly put an emphasis on pop culture, on stories that are good reads beyond just the hard news aspect of what we do. I think that is a good balance to a lot of the more aggressive reporting that's done in the Herald. So I think that's good. And frankly, people buy a news product, any news product, to be entertained as well as to be informed. And I think we tend to try to serve that purpose. On the reader interaction, we have 65,000 registered commenters, people who register to go on our site, to sort of network there, who comment. We're bringing that to new heights on the Herald website. We've got something every Friday we call the Friday Throwdown, where our commenters go on and have a one-hour debate about issues. It's a moderated debate. It's quite civil. No comments get on there without being vetted first. But there has been great reaction. I really think that when you look at a newspaper website, it's a different product than the print product. Mm. And it has to be interactive. It has to be visual. People don't want to sit there and be talked to. They want to take part in the conversation. That's what the web does for us.
Joe Shaka, we just got a couple minutes left with you. And before I let you go, I want to ask you, some might say that by virtue of being willing to take the helm at a new city newspaper today, you are a very courageous man. Because it's not a good time for papers financially.
Right.
I mean, both the Globe and the Herald have seen major reductions in circulation. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a recent article here that says weekday circulation for the Herald fell 12%, and you've got some 132,000 newspapers. And the Sunday edition declined almost 5%. And you've also basically been operating under the good auspices of your publisher, Mr. Purcell, and his deep pockets. Mm-hmm. So given that, given the newspaper industry as a whole, what do you see for the future health of the Herald here in Boston, and Boston as a two-newspaper town?
I think that circulation, I think things have stabilized somewhat. All newspapers have seen massive drops. Ours have not been quite as large as some others. I think that we can't look at ourselves anymore as simply a newspaper. I think we have to look at ourselves as a news organization, generating original content. That's what we always hear about when it comes to the web and what the future of news will be. People want news on the go, on their smartphones, on their cell phones, on their iPads. I think we have to look at ourselves as a news organization and how we can, in the future, I think it's exciting to have these opportunities to integrate the web and the print products and maybe have a broadcast component as we see here today. I think that's the future of news.
All right. Well, Joe Shaka, he is the newly named editor-in-chief of the Boston Herald. Such a pleasure to have you. Thanks for joining us
today. I really enjoyed
it.
Thanks for inviting me.